Ladies and gentlemen, you are entering the realm of 5 Tools.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Football Scout 365 host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with Coach Mel Taylor to talk some basketball. You know that.
Oh, my gosh, man. Miss you so much.
I know. Miss you too, dog. Man, lots happened, dude. We had a whole all-star weekend that Mel, I got to make a confession, man. Mm-hmm. This is the first all-star weekend, I think. I didn't care, and I watched probably 10 minutes of.
I don't blame you for that. A lot of people feel that way, and I'm actually sad that to hear you say that, and especially it's sad on the 75th anniversary. That's why it's sad.
Well, that list sucked, so that shouldn't be supported, first of all.
Oh, my God. I'm so pissed about that shit, man. Like, real talk, like, even, like, watching the All-Star game, like, this weekend just further solidified why – just this whole 75th year, they're starting to fumble it. Let's see.
Yo. Yes, but I am recording with Mel real quick because we didn't get to record yesterday. No, you're good. I'll call you right when we're done. All right. Sorry, that was Brandy talking about we're filming a YouTube video. Okay, go ahead.
We're good. But no, overall... just for it to be a 75th year, they dropped the ball on a lot of things, which I will touch on later as this podcast goes on. I have actually 10 key points that I took away from this weekend.
Nice. My favorite part was seeing Ray Allen blow past Kevin Garnett and not shake his hand. And Garnett just looking up.
I mean, that's just Garnett being extra. Honestly, I didn't think too much of it. If anything, Ray was just matching their energy. If anything, it shouldn't even be a big deal because this is what they've done to him for years. But as soon as Ray kind of does it, and he didn't even do it disrespectfully, in my opinion. He just didn't look at them as he dapped up LeBron. People feel as though that's disrespectful. I actually thought that was respectful, understanding the situation, knowing that we don't get along like that. We're not cool like that. So yeah. Why is everyone shocked that I don't, you know what
that's
I'm saying?
True.
So, I actually took it like that's respectful, and that's how respectful men should do it. But I think later on they took a picture together.
Oh, okay. They're probably like, we need the first big three together.
And they're not even the first big three. I guess the first player-generated big three, but that was, again, they wasn't even that generated. But anyway, that's a whole other discussion. But I loved it.
I love the drama. I love the storyline. That's why the NBA is awesome.
That's why it is awesome. The soap operas every day, all day.
I mean, before we hop into the All-Star stuff, what do you think about J.J. Redick? Just ripping into Zion Williamson.
First off, I love J.J. Redick.
Yeah.
I legit love him.
Needed to be said.
It needed to be said.
Who the hell are you?
and what he said.
One of the best basketball players in the world. And you didn't even reach out?
Didn't reach out at all.
Yeah.
It's disrespectful.
That's crazy.
That's his team's fault. Because remember, I think people also forget he's not even 22 yet. Is he 22 yet? He's no older than 22.
I don't know. He looks like a big old baby, though.
He does. So I also feel like with him, who is the team around him? That's
supposedly
the real question.
Brandon Ingram.
Oh, supposedly?
Yeah, supposedly.
Don't care about anything. Brandon got his money. He's good. He's good. He got his money. I'm just going to ball out, do my thing.
I heard that there's rumors of a second surgery that he may not even come back again.
That's on Zion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zion, I heard about that. But I'm also torn because I feel like he is just like, I want to make the biggest noise possible, whether it be positive or negative, to get myself out of this situation.
Yeah.
He just wants to get out of the situation.
I read an article that GMs around the league are prepping for Zion, Donovan Mitchell, and Dame as the next three mm-hmm. superstars that are going to be
oh yeah
moved out.
Here's the real question with the Zion situation. The question is, what if David offered him that extension? What will he do?
He's going to have to take it, especially with his injury history.
With his injury history, absolutely. But will he be the first not to take it?
No. He's going to take it. He can't afford to with his foot. He can't afford to. He'd be dumb.
I agree with you 2,000%. However, a lot of things going on with his situation are kind of, they're not unprecedented, but they're also unprecedented in the sense of just how detached he is from the team. Because usually with people with injuries,
like we even see Kawhi, we consider Kawhi detached,
exactly,
and he's still around. Like
he'll come around once in a while. No, he'll go up in the stand, or not in the stand, but up in the box. You know what I'm saying? At least he'll you'll see a camera of him, like, you know. But with him, he's like an other coast. He's like on the West Coast. Yeah, eating, living life, man. So
right,
I think he just wants to cause noise and leave. And especially after what JJ said, he never wanted to be a Pelican, obviously. But after what JJ said, this guy has detached himself forever. And I think even, not to make it about Lonzo, but I am. And I think once Lonzo left, that was really like, oh, they don't even care about my voice. Because he was vocal the whole entire year that he loves Lonzo. Lonzo's helpful to his career. He has a great relationship with Lonzo.
It's still the oddest thing. It's the oddest thing ever.
Yes.
Not even, like, one, because Lonzo was, like, really great next to him. Like, he plays really great. He's defensive. He can shoot. And his three-pointer was improved. They started winning a bunch of games when they played together.
Mm-hmm.
But he's your young asset that you got in exchange for, you know, arguably like a top 100. Oh, it's funny. We went from like a top 25 to now I'm saying top 100 player of all time in Anthony Davis.
I'm saving that for later.
I'm getting mad, dude.
Oh, my God. I'm so mad.
Now LeBron's already prepping the exit plan? Bro, if he leaves, like, the disrespect in my heart for this man that will come out.
Like, oh, I can't wait.
I took you in. I defended you. I switched my whole thought process.
And I'll just become a bigger fan.
I just, okay. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about the All-Star game. So tell me the only, okay, let me tell you what I watched. Let me tell you what got me excited. So while the dunk contest is going on, I'm sitting on Instagram and TikTok watching people make jokes about how ridiculous and stupid the dunk contest is.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't even give a crap about the dunk contest. Two people were like, OB Knicks, because the Knicks have like five dunk champions, but no championships.
That's amazing. That's a great stat, Wood. Thank you. Yeah. We're gonna get the actual number of dunk contest winners they've had.
I think it's like five or six. Yeah,
that's sad.
The Starks is one, and then you had Obi. Then didn't JR win it when he was there? I think he did.
Not sure. No, I have to really go into, because I don't remember.
Yeah, I really don't remember. Let me check real quick.
I know Nate Robinson won.
Yeah, Nate Robinson.
That's the one that's come at the top of my head. And I hate to say is I don't care about the Knicks. And I know it sounds kind of funny, me saying that. Also sounds funny. Consider what the Knicks meant to the world, but what they've also done is like inexcusable. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm gonna pause for a second. I'm gonna tell you why the Knicks is terrible later on. But I can't honestly, man. I only remember Obi and Nate,
Kenny Walker, 1989.
Yep, the Skywalker. Yes, the Skywalker. That was
Nate Robinson twice.
Mm-hmm.
Obi, Nate three times.
Yeah, Nate won three. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, Nate won three. So Nate got all the – yeah. And then they get rid of Nate. So
and Nate got a second place.
Yeah, Nate was amazing. Nate is so underrated.
Yeah,
everybody kind of talks about the great.
Honestly, Nate ruined his legacy with Jake Paul.
I'm not even shocked. I don't understand why people were shocked.
One of the first players to. Because we didn't know Jake Paul could box at first, so he was the initial victim, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
You need to take a break?
Oh, no,
okay.
I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, fuck work. Fuck but, work. Yeah, exactly.
he's one of the first players I've ever seen to put himself in obscurity in his after retirement, even though
he's haven't seen him since.
One of the most favorite players, beloved all time, because everyone loves the tiny dude that can score.
And nobody talks about him anymore. They like the black community really just disregard. Bruh, him.
The amount of black card memes being revoked after.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was horrible.
Crazy. It's like bring me back Earl Boykins. That was my tiny man. That I like. Yo, Earl Boykins was nice, dude.
No, Earl Boykins was nice, yo.
I remember, bro, I have a special relationship with those suck-ass Clippers teams back in the day because I used to watch them growing up. Like, bro, one of my favorite teams of all time, that young Clippers team when they drafted McGetty,
oh, yeah,
Quentin Richardson, Darius Miles,
yep.
Ola Bekandi. They had Boykins, Andre Miller. Bro, that team was fun. One of my favorite players was their backup. Ugliest dude to ever play in the NBA. You remember? Backup center.
Not Popeye, was it?
Keith Kloss.
With the pizza face?
With the pizza face. That man was
nice. Yeah, him. Yeah, yeah. He was ugly. Man, yeah. we went way back with that one. Mm-hmm. No, that's my favorite Clippers team, though. Because it also had Michael Olajuwon.
Olajuwon Candy. Candyman. Yeah.
Candyman. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So that was my favorite Clippers team by far, even more than Blake Griffin and Chris Paul and them. That was my
favorite. They
were fun Clippers
to watch. McGetty had such an old man at the gym game. It was never was respected. Nice, yeah.
Corey was nice, man. He was my favorite one of the low players growing up.
Dumb dude. Like I remember he would stop short at the foul line on a fast break sometimes, instead of just getting some contact at the rim, shoot a jump shot, miss sometimes. And you'd be like, what are you doing?
Absolutely, yes. It's ridiculous. Again, looking at them, because was Vinny their coach? Was Vinny Del Negro was their coach?
For a season or two. And then I think it was Dunleavy, right? Dunleavy came
in? Yep. Mm-hmm. They're just young, and I think they're in a bad spot because the West was so good during that time.
Quentin Richardson, another player before his time, would have done much better in the league. Just 5-10 years down the road.
Yep. A lot of players are like that during that time. A lot of players, man. During the 90s also, that didn't get no shine in the 90s, would have shined during this time.
Well, let's talk All-Star Game. Take me through it. So we open the weekend.
Well, you open the weekend with the Ruffles NBA All-Star Game, which I liked. It was different without Kevin Hart. Like, I guess because of Kevin Hart, we're always going to have that entertainment factor and that funny factor, or like the, you know, keep the crowd into it. This year was more, you get to see a lot of good, I think this year you have more good basketball players than in years past. However, the biggest thought I got from the celebrity game was they need to have a real draft and they really need to vet the players. And what I mean by that is there are so many good players.
Why are they playing real players in it now?
You said why they're putting real players?
Yeah. Why?
Like real WNBA players or
no,
real...
No, wasn't Anderson Varejão in it? For some reason?
Yeah, for some reason. Else? Like, they didn't have any NBA players, though.
I will forever be tied to Anderson Varejão because of my hair.
Exactly. I love your hair, by the way. No, this is the first year where they didn't have any former NBA players, I feel. There was no former NBA players. But they did have...
Varejão was on the court. It was crazy.
Nah, it was... they had a lot of athletes this year, though. It was very different. They had a Harlem Globetrotter player, which I thought was cool.
that's kind of.
And they also had but that's not even the point I'm trying to make. No, whatever they had, they had. That's cool. But my whole thing is, if you invite these celebrities to play, see how they play first, and then split the teams up evenly.
It's their least watched event.
It is their least watched event, I understand, and nobody cares like me.
Dunk contest.
That does say. Honestly, I'll enjoy this more than the dunk contest. I sincerely mean that. Because they had a guy named Jimmy Allen. He's a singer, I believe. I don't know nothing about his singing, but he was so quick, so shifty, great handle. I thought Myles Garrett wasn't able to really shine the way he could have. Because Myles Garrett was actually a beast. He had a really nice one-hand dunk that game. Athletic freak of nature. Oh, they had Boobie.
Boobie
was playing. Which I also think is sad.
And they had Anderson Varejão. Okay, I think I get what they were doing. Anderson Varejão was there. I think it was they were bringing back old Cavs because it was Cleveland.
Yeah, the Cleveland thing. And then one team was all Cleveland people, like Jack Carlos from Cleveland.
I'm glad to see Boobie still like alive and well enough to play in an amateur game.
Yeah, I know, man. And sadly enough, at this point, I kind of know him more for his ex-wife than for him.
Yeah. I mean, who was the other dude, the bald dude that could dunk? Shannon?
Hmm?
The one that dated her before him. He played for the Lakers for a
while. Oh, Common? No, he played for the Lakers. You're talking about Shannon.
Yeah.
Shannon Brown.
Shannon Brown.
Chris Brown.
Yo, Shannon Brown was a cheat code on NBA 2K. Off the bench, because he could yam. So you get near the basket.
Yeah, man. But to complete my thought on the... I don't want to waste my time on this, because I don't have to waste time. The real thing I got from it was Jack Harlow's four-pointer. Great shot. First of all, Jack Harlow's game looks terribly ugly. He has a horrible-looking game, but the shot goes in. When he made the four-point shot, that's when I realized, oh, we cannot have this in the NBA.
Yeah.
Because immediately it'll just be like a gimmick. Like, man, immediately.
Talk about an overachiever. I feel like Jack Harlow is just maxed out every category of overachiever.
Yeah, man.
Like, this man's literally a top three probably commercial rapper on the planet right now. Yeah. And like, after listening to his songs, I'm like, yeah, he's got some bars, but where's that flow though?
He's meh. And it sucks because so many like real rappers co-sign for him. Like they try really hard. And I actually don't like that. Actually, Jack Harlow is a whole nother podcast.
Honestly.
Real talk.
That should be our next hip hop homework assignment. Old guys trying to listen to Jack Harlow.
Yes.
After Outkast.
Yes. But I actually like Jack, but don't get it twisted. I like Jack Harlow. I like his personality. He seems like a really cool dude.
Yeah, he seems like he'd be fun to party with.
Oh, my God. How can I forget this? Before we move on to the rising stars, I need right now for RJ, Richard Jefferson, and Big Perk to start training to be commentators together.
Yeah. Richard Jefferson has grown a lot.
Yes.
Like, he started off, it was a little rough. I was like, who's this dweeb?
Yes.
14 point per game.
He sounds more comfortable now.
He sounds very comfortable. And, yo, the way he went back at Gilbert... Yes. Oh, I love it. I loved it. He said, oh, yeah, I was the fourth. Where were you in our championship game, Gilbert?
Ooh.
He said, what were you doing the night before? Should I bring that up? I want to know what Gilbert was doing the night before. Was he having a Mexican standoff with somebody?
Oh, I need it to happen. I need to know. But RJ and Perk need their own comments. They need to be the next level, because I really feel like those two can really match up. Not well against, but at least they'll give ESPN something to go against the NBA TNT crew.
Yeah.
There has to be something to go against. You know, I know they're the greatest, like the NBA TNT crew. I love them so much. I'm going to miss them so much.
Put Ryan Clark in there with them, too. Even though he's an NFL guy, I feel like all three of those dudes would get it going.
Ryan Clark is he's such a great talent. I like him way more than Stephen. Actually, believe it or not, I stopped watching First Tape because of Stephen A. Smith because I really want
him. I hate Stephen A. Smith, but I really don't like him. This is a good transition.
It would be a good transition, yeah.
To the dunk contest. He had his first good idea I've heard him say in years. I used to like Stephen A. Smith back in the day because he was fun. He was just so New York. Now I feel like he's a caricature of himself.
Mm-hmm.
But Stephen A. Smith had a great idea for the dunk contest. He said, because there's all these, the reason people don't give a crap about the dunk contest is because we see all these dudes on Instagram doing way crazier dunks that just practice all day, every day dunking.
It's not fair to our players.
Yeah, and they can't do it because they can't risk injury.
Nor do they have the time. They don't have the time to keep practicing these dunks. The professional dunkers, this is what they do. They do this 10 to 12 hours a day thinking and practicing most amazing dunks. Our NBA players just have to really train for a month.
Exactly. Yeah,
or the off season.
Well, and that's what would make it interesting. If they got together and they did the dunk contest and the NBA players, it's already like the internet sport. It's a very active internet sport. They went out, found their own dunk competitors and sponsored them, and then were on the court, like hyping them up and stuff and helping them with the dunks. It'd just be fun. It'd be very fun.
And imagine the excitement. Oh my God. For us.
And there's some real money on the line for those dunkers too. Like put up like 100 G's or something, you know what I mean? For the winner. Mm-hmm. A real payday.
No. And also, just to piggyback what you said, I was going to say it's my seventh point, but exactly what you said is why we're on the same page, is what I thought. Because what I was thinking was, especially after the Zach and Aaron dunk contest, mm-hmm. which was the best dunk contest ever, there is no way the NBA players can top that.
That's true.
So the next level, and I love what the NBA is doing. Especially, I love Silver. I love him as a commissioner because he's always trying to innovate. He's always trying to rebrand.
Definitely the anti Stern.
Oh, I love it though. Yeah. And again, to your ultimate point, and just to kind of like bring our ideas together, I think you even said, actually, did you just say that you think NBA players should sponsor?
Yeah,
a civilian player.
Yeah, exactly.
And then for the soup, that's amazing. No, that's a great idea. I think that's the best idea that you or Stephen A. has ever come up with.
Everyone get their Don King on and put a fighter into the promotion.
And think about make it all about betting, but think about the betting.
Yeah, wow. It'd be great. It'd bring all the swag back to it. Yeah.
Wow.
And then, continue with your trip to the weekend.
No, I mean, let's stay on the dunk contest since we already went there. I'll stay.
You know what dunk was so? What dunk is so slept on that I remember still?
The Tim dunk, man.
No, remember when Gerald Green blew the
cupcake? Oh my God, blew
the
cupcake!
Out?
Oh yeah, my God!
No one ever talks about that anymore.
I swear to God, I was at the La Haye.
Uh huh.
And let's literally shout out. And I'm like, I remember seeing it, and I'm like screaming, and nobody else cared. They're like,
no one cared. You know how much hang time it takes to get up there, blow out a cupcake, and still do a slam dunk?
It's amazing.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Oh, man, I love you, Wood.
Gerald Green is slept on dunker. I mean, look at Gerald Green. Look at Gerald Green. He can be out the league for 3 years, walk in,
and win. He could have won that dunk contest.
He can 100%. Still drop 16 points in a game.
He can. The Lakers could use him.
Yeah, the Lakers could use everybody.
Yeah, y'all could.
Oh, now it's y'all.
Yeah, it's y'all now. Yes, y'all. All right. By yourself. Back to my Sixers. Howl at my Sixers. But, but anyway, stay on track, Mel. The dunks were trash.
Yeah, they were.
Can we say that? The dunks were trash.
Obi's were impressive, but like...
That's why he won.
Mad fumbling. Like, when he was putting the ball through his... He's like... Looks like someone trying to juggle.
The dunks never look clean with Obi. To be honest, that's my other point. That's what made it so bad. I had two Obi points. My first Obi point was, if Obi was in any other dunk contest, like, say if he was with the dunk contest with Zach and Aaron, he'll be last.
Yeah.
He would have got the last place.
Bro, the most boring dunk champion of all time, and besides Dwight Howard, Aaron Gordon would have smashed Obi.
Yeah. It also sucks because Aaron, you would have won this contest. I know you said, I'm never doing it again. But yeah.
Well, I mean, he's way better in-game dunker.
He is a good – yeah, he's a better in-game dunker.
Exactly. Aaron Gordon's a freak. But he – which, by the way, I thought – you'd think he'd average more points with Jokic there. Don't get me wrong. He's doing his thing. They're in fourth place in the West without all their two other best players above him. So.
It's pretty impressive. I have a bad take on Jokic you're not going to like, but continue.
Of course you do. No, you continue. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Your Jokic slander makes me sad.
Oh, my second OB point, I think Tibbs should be fired. The whole time I'm watching OB, I'm thinking three things. One, wow, he can sell to the fans. Like, the fans want to see this. Two, he's better regardless than Taj Gibson. No offense to Taj. Taj brings the veteranness that, you know, Tibbs loves.
The grit.
Thibs loves. Yeah. The grit that Thibs loves. But he doesn't bring the athleticism.
At all.
Obi's
been getting more minutes as the season goes on, and he's been playing well.
I also feel like Thibs, y'all went on this huge losing streak. Y'all lose a lot.
Should have played the youngins a little bit more.
Exactly, because at least you'll bring energy on the court.
No, for sure, I get that. But there's one thing.
Taj's getting 25 minutes a game. Obi's getting like less than 12.
Yeah,
that's crazy. That's insane.
Flipped.
What was you about to say? Go ahead.
There's one reason I want Thibs to stay. Because inevitably, when they get Fat Man Zion, which that he's Fat Man Scoop now, Fat Man Zion. That's what I'm asking. when he gets to the Knicks eventually, because it's going to happen, I just want to see what Zion can do in that Derrick Rose role at the top of the key. Because honestly, I think it might be like a generational thing to watch. Because you realize that's what he's going to play in that offense.
Yeah.
Zion Williamson is going to be like the top of the key, Nate Robinson, Derrick Rose, unstoppable force to the basket.
I would like to see him play. I would like to see Zion just be Randle. Just do everything Randle does, but you just be Zion. Yeah. Because I don't
it's
like
It's inevitable. Randle. They're going to have to get trade Randle to them. It's in draft picks. Probably OB too.
That's a steal for the Knicks. Get rid of Randle.
Yeah, but who knows? Who knows how much Zion plays again? Who knows if this is fake? He's playing a James Harden. I hate to say it, but when you're just so, you know, not with the team, just who knows, man? All right, so take me to the skills competition. Or was the three-point contest first?
Nah, man, you're skipping over the Rising Stars.
Oh, that new mode was trash too, man. I didn't watch it because I read about it, and like usually I embrace like the new scoring and modes and stuff, and I was like, no, this is dumb. But tell me about it.
No, it was meh. It was boring. Exactly what you just said. In fact, I don't even want to talk about it. But Cade did get the player of the game, which he deserved to get.
Yo, people sleep on Cade.
That's my takeaway. I'm glad you said that. What you just said is my takeaway. That the whole year people been sleeping on Cade. And don't get it twisted, Mobley is the best rookie of this class. But a strong second, third player is Cade Cunningham.
Well, let's be real, Mobley will never be a number one on offense. Like Cade is a whole offense.
Yes. And again, who could affect the game better? We don't know. I'm not going to make a choice because I still love Mobley.
Yeah, Mobley is defense with both hands.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
But and the fact that he can shoot three-pointers his size at like sickening. It's sickening.
It's sickening. But the biggest point I got from Cade was that he is the beginning of the LeBronites. And what I mean by that is, like, you know how when Jordan left, you get to see the Kobe, you get to see all like the shooting guards come.
This is the first in the line of LeBron impersonators?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, okay, lovely. You know what I'm saying? I actually thought Luka at first, but Luka's just different. Luka's and again, himself. I know you got thoughts on Luka. Yeah, Luka is himself.
Yeah, he's Larry Bird and James Harden put together.
Yeah, don't get it twisted. I feel as though he is influenced by LeBron, but he plays nothing like LeBron.
Oh, for sure. Nothing like LeBron.
Like LeBron.
Honestly, it's a different type of intelligence. Like, Luka's on the level of LeBron intelligence-wise, but he just sees the game differently.
But with Cade, if you watch Cade playing, while I was watching the Rising Stars game, he surveys the court like LeBron. He likes to kind of hold the ball up top. Like when he gets the ball, he likes to really, you know, I'm a LeBron stan, so I kind of know LeBron things. So he kind of holds the ball a certain way, three-point threat positions, kind of like LeBron. He's very LeBron how he attacks the court. He's really trying to attack angles. His cross-court passing is very underrated for a person of his age. Mm-hmm. So while watching Cade, I'm like, wow, I'm really watching the future star of this league. And also watching the entire rising star, even the game was trash, or not trash, but it was meh. I'm watching all the talent. You remember LaMelo Ball's out there, yeah. Cade's out there, Mobley's out, like so on and so forth. You see all this talent, it's like, oh wow, the
that NBA LaMelo is pass great. Was crazy.
Yes, it was crazy, ridiculous. Like,
oh, and by the way, those purple Pumas got me thinking fire about buying a pair of Pumas.
I'm getting Pumas in general,
and I've literally never thought about buying that a pair of Pumas. I remember seeing that Meek Mill was one of their sponsored people once, and just going, mm-hmm, ah, who the hell wants to dress like Meek Mill?
Exactly. But I want to dress like Melo.
Yeah,
did you hear what Melo said? They said, Melo, who was your favorite player growing up? Who was your favorite player growing up? He said, oh, myself. I love going back and watching my old tapes and looking at myself. I said, I love you so much.
It's so hard to listen to him talk sometimes.
I love him.
You can really tell, like, oh, you didn't finish high school. That's right.
Oh, my God. I'm like, oh, wow, you're like your dad's son.
But, like, just watching him, remember when his dad did the WWE thing? He's like, beat him, daddy! Beat him, daddy! I was like, bro, this kid is a certain type of
wrestler. Exactly.
He needs to get his GED. He needs to go in the offseason, finish that high school. Those high school classes. Yes. All right, so sophomores, rookies, blah.
Yeah, it was mad. So we actually move on. We don't have to waste time on that. Yeah. But also, Cade, great. The talent was great. It's just that we don't want to see a whole bunch of young kids playing.
I used to love that, but I'd like the rookie sophomore game. I think it's actually more fun because they tried.
Mix them all up.
They tried. Let them just keep playing that game regularly. Mm-hmm. That game was fun.
It was fun. You're absolutely right. I think they should go back to the rookie sophomore
game. And it was even more fun to watch like an incredible class of rookies just destroy of a lower class rookie, like the sophomore. Yes. Yeah, it was great. Remember, that game made David Lee a star. Mm-hmm. That's how he got an $80 million contract from the Warriors.
Facts. These are big facts you're spitting right now.
All right, what's next, the three-point or the...
Believe it or not, I'm going to take it a little bit different because, you know, I watch everything. The TNT did a NBA 75 Ultimate Draft.
Okay.
It was pretty amazing. It was Jerry West, Quavo. Dominique.
That's a combo right there.
Yeah, Quavo picked, like, it was funny because Quavo picked all the people that shined. It was pretty funny. But, I don't want to bore people with this because there's more meaningful things to talk
just
about.
Just read me the rosters. What was Jerry's roster?
Going off the top. I actually wrote it down. Give me a sec while I pull it up. So the teams, let's break it down a little bit. So is they basically went by the NBA TNT Tuesday. So D-Wade, Candace were on one team. Jerry West is by himself. Inside the NBA, you know, Shaq, Kenny, and them were a team. Chris Haynes had, and Shams had their own team. Dominique, who, by the way, had the first pick, picked himself for the number one pick.
Love it.
That's one thing I'll never forget. And I loved it, too. I loved it so much because he knew he was going to get one of the last ones. Sue Bird was there. D.L. Hughley and Quavo were the ones I was like.
What was D.L.'s team? Was he wearing his fedora?
Actually, he was just chilling. Yeah, I think he had dreads, I can recall correctly.
I love D.L. feeling himself in his fedora.
So Dominique had Dominique, Moses, Oscar, Carl Malone, James Harden, Patrick Ewing, Paul Pierce, Lenny Wilkins, Bob Pettit, and Dolph Skays.
Oh, that team would hate each other so much.
Yeah. I hated his. I didn't like his team.
Yeah.
I think it was his team was a bunch of mediocre people.
Although you know, Carl and Patrick together would be interesting because Patrick
would be very interesting. I feel like Dominique, and I have to get so, you know, psychological profiling, he picked all the people I felt don't get enough credit and didn't really win no championships like that. Even though Oscar won and you know, people won. But
the team of himself.
Yeah, team of himself. Jerry's team. Now check out Jerry. Now again.
Jerry's nice.
Before I digress and go on to read the teams, one thing I learned from this draft is like Jerry West is one of the, again, people know this, but he has the top five highest basketball IQ in NBA history.
Yeah.
I don't, and again, for him to be that age and able to see talent, new talent, and able to be objective and grow with the times is the most amazing thing about him. I love Jerry West, and he's so cool. So I am a
just let's read Jerry's and then we'll move on just for time purposes.
Oh no! And just like that, I lost it.
It's all good. We can come back to that later. These are imaginary teams.
Imaginary teams. I'm so mad I lost. No, because Jerry's team, because Jerry had like Kobe. He had Wilt. He had
Jerry's team won already.
Mm-hmm. Jerry's team won off the jump. But no, we'll come back to that. You're right. We'll come back to that. It's actually fun. We'll come because, like I said, there's a lot of people.
So skills challenge.
Before I move on to skill challenge, Howard versus Morgan State. As you know, I'm from the Baltimore area, so Morgan State's big to me. They had a Howard Morgan State the NBA HBCU game. Uh-huh. Howard won.
Nice.
But my biggest takeaway was, you know, Seventh Woods. Remember that name?
Yeah.
He plays for Morgan State. He transferred from North Carolina and went to I thought that was wild.
Yeah, that's pretty.
He only had 4 points though, but I thought that was wild because he's a
man. When you transfer from UNC and to an HBCU and you still ain't getting burned, rough.
That's bonkers. Yeah, that's bonkers. But now we can get to Saturday. Let's get to Saturday now. The Taco Bell skill challenge, loved it. The Wonder Cavs, which is my nickname for them, they won. What was your thoughts first?
I'm the right team won. When I saw that. Those guys together, I was like, oh, yeah, they're going to be awesome. People sleep on Jared Allen's skills at basketball. Mm-hmm. Jared Allen is beast. These baby Cavs is like my favorite team in a really long time.
Oh, yeah. Very talented.
Giannis brothers.
Love the Giannis brothers. I thought that was cute. Overall,
Morris twins versus everybody.
Oh yes, Morris twins versus. I would love to see a NBA boxing competition. Like not to get ahead of myself, but that's one of the things. Like I would think, like they should definitely on the weekend. They should definitely have a non-NBA sanctioned event. Like sometimes that has nothing to do with the NBA. Like say for me, we have Charles Oakley, who's been making his rounds lately, want to fight Charles Barkley. Something random.
Somebody would die at their age, but yeah.
Of course, as an example, but you know, I got a Las Vegas
joint
or something.
That's
like
not
that.
Even that bad of an idea if we call it like league beefs or something like that, and you get all the dudes that used to hate each other to box in retirement. That'd be pretty fun.
The NBA would have to really say this has nothing to do with us. We're not affiliated. Nothing. Because my whole thing is like, can he stay throwing his party on NBA? Weekend, like his NBA All-Star weekend party has nothing to do with the NBA All-Star game, but he seems to always bring it up from time to time. Yeah. So why not have something else that's something like, we want to see?
Tell me you wouldn't watch Luke Longley and Greg Ostertag box.
I would. Luke Longley would smack him, though.
Yeah, he's Australian. I don't know. Don't sleep on Greg. He's got the secret strength.
That's true, but I always go with the Australian.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so let's do 3-point contests. This was a good story. It was a good story.
Yeah,
this is probably the best story of the weekend. It was sweet.
The best story.
It's the Cat best story. Cat wore his mother's necklace, and then dedicated the win to her. And honestly, Cat, like, it's cool that a big man won. I love that. I loved it when Dirk won. I loved it when the big man wins. It's awesome.
He's the first center to win.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty big deal. He did great, by the way. Also, shout out to Luke Kennard. For making it a real contest.
Luke Kennard's wet.
Yeah. But you remember, I'm a Luke Kennard fan.
Yeah, same.
I'm a big Luke Kennard fan. I mean, obviously, his time
with
the Clippers. I thought with the Clippers, he would be a bigger.
Same.
But again, Doc ruins careers. But Let's not digress.
Yeah, we'll talk about that another time.
Let's not digress. But yeah, to your point, 3-point contest was great. Just because Carl won, and it's hard with a 3-point contest sometimes because if Steph's not, you know, if Steph's not in it, you know, it's not really exciting.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that. That's if Steph and Klay aren't in it, it's not as exciting. So for Klay, for Kat to win it the way he won it this year and being the tallest person to win it since Dirk, great job for him. So yeah, I have no issues with the 3-point contest. The 3-point contest will be alive and well forever.
Oh, yeah. So. All-star game. Now, Steph Curry's 3 points, that was one of the coolest all-star moments, honestly. Like, that picture of him turning around after shooting it, just the cords rippling, that was hard. Like, I would frame God. That was swag as it gets, dude.
And also, yo, first of all, I'm tired of us thinking, like, I told my wife that. I showed my wife this picture. I said, I want a frame of this. She said, why?
Because you just don't understand the excellence it takes to shoot that 3-pointer and just look at the crowd.
I never been more upset in my life.
Yeah.
I'm, no, like, more upset.
I'm there for you, bro. I get it. And can I just tell you how absolutely insane it is that LeBron felt the need to, like, stop the whole game and take that final fadeaway shot, even though they're up by one? Yeah. Everyone said, oh, LeBron hit the game-winning shot. No, he didn't. They were up by one.
No, they didn't. And as a LeBron fan, that's the one thing I got from the weekend. I had to jump ahead of myself, which is I was just very disappointed in LeBron. We're just really forcing the attention on him.
Bro, he's just out there saying, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to leave the Lakers. That's what he's saying. Just what he does with every other team. The fact that he had the balls to go out and say that he might go back to Cleveland, I was like, yo, dude, you're insane. You're an absolute sociopath. Just the fact that you could be like, oh, I might go back and put those people through a third time as soon as grass is green over there. It's absolutely insane to me.
Oh, it's insane. And just the whole week, and then to top it off, like, I don't even want to get too far ahead of myself. When I saw how the crowd in Cleveland cheered for Michael Jordan, I was like, LeBron's heart, he's not showing it. It's crushing right now because there's so many levels to badness or to this ridiculousness of LeBron of Jordan being cheered that way. Or Jordan rather having the biggest cheer of the weekend in Cleveland. All the years he broke Cleveland's hearts. Mm-hmm. All the, like, one of the greatest shots in history against Greg Elo from Michael Jordan. You know, one of the greatest shots ever in Cleveland. And they just cheer for him as if, you know, LeBron didn't bring him a championship. It was so disrespectful.
It's true. Ja's dunk was pretty
sick.
Amazing as well.
Sick.
Yeah.
Sick dunk. And guessing who threw hoop though? Who threw it?
Yep. The future.
The guy who I think's better.
I don't know. I don't know if he's better. It's different skill set.
Very different. It was whatever you prefer.
Because LaMelo will never have Ja's aggressiveness.
Oh no, I was saying Trey threw the oop. You're talking about the oop Trey threw. Which dunk are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Trey. Yeah, no, that's the one I was talking about. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Ja's definitely better than Trey. Not skill-wise, but for, like, a winning basketball team.
So you think Ja is better for winning, whereas Trey's not better for winning?
Correct. I mean, Trey's an absolute liability on defense, and sometimes he gets a little bit of tunnel vision. But hot Trey is a different story, though. So.
Yeah, man, I am... Ja's great. Don't get it twisted. And we're going to save this for another day to have this Ja trade conversation. I'm just going to say this last thing about Ja. Every NBA player, or at least 30% of every NBA player, should have his heart and the way he approaches games. Because if at least 30% of the players in the NBA get his heart and the way he approaches games, the NBA will surpass the NFL. Because his attitude and his will to win and, like, that desire, like, when he didn't shake that kid's hand that had the Steph jersey on, I was like, that's it. That's the guy, man. So I am a I love Ja as a person, and I think he's great. And again, I'm always busting your balls a little bit. I love busting your ball. I think he's a top five point guard in his league.
Yeah.
Easy. So, but back to your point, the dunk was amazing. The oop was amazing. Also found it, because did Ja play the fourth quarter?
I don't think so.
Did Joker play the fourth quarter?
No, he didn't. Yeah, I think he did. I think he did a little bit. I don't know. I didn't pay attention to it because it's the All-Star game and it's stupid. And that's
no, because but to your point about, I love Joker, by the way. I actually, before this game started, I was going to say Joker's still the best center in the league. No matter how great Embiid's playing, no matter how amazing Embiid is, I still was picking Joker. But after I watched the game on Sunday, I'm going to say Embiid's the best center in the league.
I don't know. Joker's still incredible. It's 1A, 1B, and you could swap them both.
No. I think what you just said is correct, 1A, 1B. I don't think whatever you argue, you're wrong. But I'm saying, like, before this past weekend, I was saying Joker without a shadow of doubt, because his passing ability, his leadership, and the way he's keeping his team afloat by himself, with the points you made earlier with no stars, one of his star players. But this guy Embiid, man, his offensive skill set, and then you match it with his defensive prowess. I can't pick Joker over Joel. Joel is amazing. And then again, I'm also a 76ers fan, so that might be what I'm also basing my opinion on.
It is. But that's another conversation for another day. Now, quick, we got to wrap up here. But what do you think about Goran Dragic picking the Nets? I don't understand why. I thought he would have been. I would love to see him go to Cleveland.
The Lakers, you meant.
Phoenix. With Chris Paul out cool. 6 to 8 weeks?
Yeah, that would have made more sense. And I think he is a great backseat. We love making our old points new points. It's great to have a bench player with a similar skill set as you as a starter. You know, someone who can get into the paint, who can make points around the basket, who can shoot pretty well in the mid range. Very decent passer. So it would have made more sense to go to the Suns. And I think you would have went to a better team with better chances against the championship. Because I think the Suns might be coming out.
Yeah, they might be. Because I think Chris Paul will be, like, healthy, right? Right when it counts, too. So that might be good for them.
Oh, yeah.
But that is another episode, Mel. We're covering the All-Star game and the All-Star festivities, who cares? They got to do something, man. I feel like it's more about the live event now, just being there for the weekend.
It's the party.
TV.
It's the party, man. And that's one of my biggest regrets was the fact that I was in North Carolina. I was in Raleigh, actually. I was in Raleigh the year of the Charlotte All-Star game. And I remember my wife saying, oh, the All-Star game's in Charlotte. We should have went. And I'm just like, what? You would have let me go? She's like, oh no, we could have went. I thought that was funny because that was the closest I could have gone to an All-Star game, but didn't happen.
All right, everybody. Well, that is another episode of the Mellywood Podcast. He's Mel Taylor. I'm Woody Massey, and thanks for listening.
Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are entering the realm of...